Hello and welcome to Grace Life Durres. We are a gospel-centered church family focused on reaching the unreached and making disciples. We pray that this teaching will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and discover more of the reality of Christianity.
Hello, hello. Hope everybody is having a good time. Excited to share also this message with you guys. I was really blessed by our Christmas series that we started off, and then also the Easter series. And then I realized, my goodness, look how far we've progressed in this year already, that we're able to speak about what happened in Christmas and in Easter. So yeah, hope you're enjoying the time with me as we're going to share a message that I really felt for this time. It just blessed me a lot. It started off with me thinking about, so we've just celebrated Easter, which is all about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And then I was thinking, but what does it really mean for us? Why was it so important for us? And then I read this verse in 1 John 5 verse 4, where it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." It was so interesting for me to see that, because when it reads there in the beginning of 1 John 5 verse 4, where it says, "For whatever is born of God," it reminded me a lot about Jesus, like we did in Christmas series. It says Jesus wasn't born of man, but he was born of God. And that was so interesting to me, because in this verse, John speaks to us as believers, and he says to us the same thing, that whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And that, and this is what overcomes the world, our faith. And I was like, my goodness, if you know anything about the Bible and you hear the word faith, I'm automatically going back and thinking of Hebrews 11, where it speaks about the heroes of faith. And then for this particular thing, one of the stories that just stood out for me in the heroes was the story of Enoch. But going back to Hebrews 11, in verse 1 it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That was very interesting to me, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that is believing because of the substance of things that you can't see. And I was like, that sounds impossible to me. But then if we carry on reading the story of Enoch, where in Hebrews 11 verse 5, where it says, "Enoch pleased God." I was like, well, that's interesting. Here we can see that Enoch pleased God. So how did he do that? And then literally in the next verse it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now that was good to me. It's like, you have to believe that God is who he says he is and seek him out. Yet again, it points to the substance of the things we hope for, the evidence of the things not seen. And then if we go and look in Genesis 5 verse 24, which is where it speaks about Enoch's life. Now if you page with me to Genesis 5 verse 24, and there we read this, where it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now Enoch walked with God. So it wasn't, his faith wasn't based on the works that he did, but he walked with God, which means he had relationship with God. And it reminds me a lot about what we see in the life of Jesus. We spoke a lot about in the weeks leading up to Easter and the months leading up to Easter, we took a good look at what the life of Jesus looked like and what we could learn from that. And I think one of the things that stood out for me most is that Jesus sought out God even from an early age. He went to the temple. He argued with the scribes and the Pharisees and the learned people of the day about who is God, what is it, through scriptures, studying it and speaking and finding out who is God, what does it mean? And it says that they were amazed by his knowledge of the scriptures. And then if you look at just the way that Jesus lived his life, he lived this life that it says, an overcoming life. If we look at John 16:33, where Jesus speaks to his disciples, then we can read this, pointing to John 16:33. And it says, indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has come now, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I'm sorry, that's verse 32. But this is Jesus speaking to his disciples just before the crucifixion. And then in verse 33 he says this, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he had faith in something to overcome. Jesus did not see he saw it, the unseen, through his studying of scriptures. And through that, he could tell his disciples before the crucifixion that I have overcome the world. Now, if we go back to Hebrews, but this time just Hebrews 12, which is literally just a chapter after they speak about the heroes of faith. And then in verse 2 it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love how it says, therefore, the looking to the joy set before him. He did not look at what he saw with his physical eyes, but he went back to what scripture says. And through scripture, he knew what was coming. He knew he was about to die on the cross, a horrible death, a tribulation that he was going to suffer. And he was not looking forward to that, because if we read through the accounts of Jesus just before the crucifixion, he was not looking forward to it. But yet it says, for the joy set before him, he looked to scripture, which proved to him, and with that proof that he had, he was willing to endure. Which is again what we saw in Hebrews 11 verse 1, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's go back to what we spoke about in the time leading up to Easter. Jesus came to fulfill scripture. And we know he believed, because again, if you go to Matthew 17:22 this time, again he speaks to his disciples just before the crucifixion. And then in Matthew 17:22, he says, now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised up. Now again, here we see that Jesus, speaking to his disciples before the crucifixion, already knew that he would be raised up on the third day. And how do I know this? That Jesus knew scripture. That's why he went to the cross, not with for like it says there in the Hebrews 22, with a joy set before him, he endured it, because he knew scripture. I know he knows scripture, because if we look at when he speaks to his disciples on the road to Emmaus, it says that he used scripture to reveal himself to them. He used Genesis to Malachi while they were mourning, and he sent them to scripture, and then to go to his to go to the others and tell them that. It's so interesting how Jesus went to scripture in times of need, in times every time. That's where he draw from to know what to do, to know the direction in to go. How many times do we go to other people, to the internet, and these days, to the AI things that you can use for information, but those things can't give you what's going to happen. That only comes through scripture and relying on God to reveal truth to you. Scriptures is what showed Jesus the things to come. Scripture is what we have to our, what we have now also, which can show us and which we can follow God's leading in every step of the way. We can look at what Paul said in Acts 13 verse 33. Now Paul knew scripture as well. He prided himself that he was a learned person. But look what Paul says in Acts 13 in verse 33. Now this is Paul just as he starts his first mission trip. And the first place they land, they go to the synagogue. And there the people invite him to give a sermon. And Paul starts and teaches them through scripture that Jesus had to come. It says in verse 33, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as the psalmist also written, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And there he also says in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Now here we see, like we spoke about in Easter, where is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And it says, for the joy set before Jesus, he endured the cross. What was before him? What did he see? He saw his resurrection from the dead. And this is what Paul also says. This is what Jesus came to do. This is what we have to stand on. Not that we have a Savior that died for us, but that we have a Savior who died for us, but was raised from the dead also. Now, why is it important? Why is this part of this message important? It's all important. But if we listen to what Paul has to say about this again, in 1 Corinthians 15, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 to 20, it says this, and if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men to be most pitied. But now Christ is risen from the dead, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came to death, by man also and the resurrection of the dead. And that second man is written with capital letters pointing towards Jesus, who brought life to us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And through our faith in him, if we believe in him as our Savior and confess him with our mouth, then we have part in that salvation. Then we're not just living for this life, this futile life of running around, waking up every morning, going to work and going to sleep. It's a rat race many times. If we don't keep our focus on what God has made it for, if we don't realize like God gave us something to overcome this world, and we go back to our first verse in 1 John 5 verse 4, it says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross. Our faith that Jesus is the Savior. Our faith that he died for us and paid the price, but not just died and paid the price, but that he was raised from the dead. Our faith in that gives us life. The same life that Jesus had now lives inside of us. So I will encourage you again with this message. Oh, this is my heart for you, is to be encouraged. In this world, yes, things will happen. Many times difficult things will happen. But there's one thing that I know. We are not living for this world. Praise be to God that Jesus came and gave us life. Not the life of this world, but the eternal life. And then many times we're so stuck in the time that we have now, the troubles we're having now, the tribulations we're having now. But I would encourage you through your study of scripture that God will just reveal the truth to you, that we are not living for this world, but we are living for eternity because of what Christ did. So let me pray for us. Thank you, Father, for the privilege we have to have faith in you, and that through our faith in you sending a Savior for us, we can overcome this world, can overcome all the troubles and tribulations that we might face. Thank you, Father, that you have not hidden these things from us, but you've given us your Holy Scriptures, revealing the truth to us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that even in this prayer, I can just pray that people's hearts and eyes be opened, that in their reading of Scripture, in their studying of Scripture, the truth just come alive to them. And they can see your truth clearly. Like it says, like we're walking with you, like Enoch walked with you. Like a friend walking together, sharing life's joys, life's tribulations, the sad times in our life. But always having that friend that never leaves us, never forsakes us. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for sending us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Not just to comfort us, but also to reveal truths to us. And as we walk with you, and as we study the scriptures, we just discover more and more of who you are. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you very much for spending this time with me, and I would encourage you to search out this truth for yourself. It's only in you studying scripture for yourself and not relying on what other people say that when the time of tribulation comes, when the time of trouble comes, or when the time of great joy comes, you can look forward for the joy set before you and not see the time, whatever it is, to distract you from the future.
You can find more of our free teachings on our website, www.gracelife.co. And if you're ever in the Durres area, we invite you to join us for one of our gatherings. Our aim is to help you discover Jesus, find family, and experience life. To contact us or to find out where and when we meet, visit our website, www.gracelife.co.